Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 21 to 35. We will be looking at the actual birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, this afternoon rather, the earlier part of this passage. But for this morning, I'd like to look at this portion. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, as I said, we will be looking at the passage before, which speaks, of course, of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shepherds and the revelation that was given to them to go to Bethlehem. But I wanted to focus on this passage because of the fact that it reveals to us the central aspect of this season, and that is that it's about a person. And more than that, it's about our response to a person. It's our relationship to this person that is the most important. Simeon and, of course, Anna, we didn't read the verses about Anna, that also came in and saw the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoiced. That these people weren't privy to the events of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What they came to see was the person himself. They came and saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and it totally transformed their life. I mean, they didn't have a Christmas tree. They didn't have presents. They didn't get family get-togethers. What they had was an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had an encounter with this infant that was not very old. And yet, as he's brought to the temple and they see him, and recognize who he is by the revelation that they received. All of a sudden, as I say, their lives were transformed. Never to be the same again. Their lives were full of joy unspeakable, comfort, and peace that the world can never understand, let alone replace. And so it's important for us too to understand this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might share in that experience, that we may share in that joy that Simeon had. In fact, every believer has. Every believer that knows the Lord Jesus Christ and understands the gospel identifies with Simeon. It's not odd to them. They don't say, well, why is he so overjoyed? I mean, why does he respond in that way? Every believer recognizes the same experience in themselves. If they don't, then there's something terribly wrong. And so we want to make sure this morning that not only we understand why he reacts that way, and others, as I will identify, but more important than that, as I say, for you to understand that if you don't have that same experience, how it is that you can enter into that yourself. To enter into that joy. To be able to say the words that he said and mean it. And so first we have this search then. This joy unspeakable was sought. It didn't come to us as a wrapped present outside our door. It had to be sought. And Simeon was one that was seeking. And while he was seeking, while he was waiting, he was genuine in his search. And so we hear about him as that he was a devout man. He was one that was just and devout, in verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel. So he'd heard about the Messiah. He'd heard about this comfort that throughout the Old Testament we have that. And of course that begins already in Genesis 3:15, where comfort is given to our first parents that had plunged the world into sin and into death and misery. And God had promised the seed. And so Simeon was looking. He was waiting. He was excited. There was anticipation in him. He couldn't wait. As I said, the same thing about Adam and Eve. God had given them this promise. And though they were surrounded by a world that had just been plunged into sin and death, and that death had begun that process in them, and they knew how terrible that was as they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Nevertheless, when God promised them that he would break this friendship that they had entered into with the devil and restore that friendship that they had with God himself, and that it would come through the seed, their seed, we all of a sudden note a sense of joy. I mean, I don't know if you've ever dropped something at home, a precious thing. I mean, you feel sad, right? Maybe it's an expensive thing or whatever it is, or sentimental thing, and you dropped it, and it's in pieces all over. And you think, oh, you're terrible. I mean, what is it that somebody can say that all of a sudden transforms that whole situation so that you can be joyful? Well, that's what we have with Adam and Eve. When they are judged and given all of the consequences, God speaks to them, then he tells them about this wonderful blessing. Now both of them become satisfied. Therefore, Adam, when he's given this wonderful news, he calls his wife Eve, the mother of all living. Into this gloom and doom and death enters this wonderful promise of life. And as I say, he didn't just break a dish. He broke the whole world. He broke himself. He broke each and every one of us. I mean, that takes some serious good news to overcome that. But it did. It did. He rejoiced. And Eve was happy too. And soon that rejoicing took on flesh because they had children. And down the road of having children came this day upon which the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And the same, I mean, we can go through every believer if we had their lives, but certainly the ones that are given, saving the ones that are given. Look at Abraham. I mean, here he was worshipping idols in the Ur of the Chaldeans, and God had to call him, and then he had to follow. He had this news, but he had to follow. And he did follow, and left his place of residence and went where God called him to go. And eventually, God, through his experiences, showed him the hope that he had, the hope that he ought to embrace. And of course, Jesus referred to that, didn't he, in the New Testament. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. I mean, he left his family, he left his home, left it all behind. How many of us are willing to sell everything off and move? We're so entrenched, we're so bound by things and entangled in things, we find it hard to move. It was no easier for him, and yet he did. And he left all of that and he went, and yet he was so full of joy. So full of joy. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. But he had to make moves. He had to go. He didn't say, no, Lord, I'm not moving until you sign on the dotted line and show me that I can see it for myself. I'm not taking that chance. I'm not moving. He did. And here we have, as I said, Simeon. He's old. He just doesn't have that many years to live. And yet, he's still waiting. He's still as excited as a young child is for Christmas, whenever they get their presents, right? Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, whenever. They're still excited. They're still looking at that box under the tree waiting that they wanted to open it. I mean, he's this old guy. He's lived life and he's still excited. He doesn't go to the temple every other day or every week just to see whether there's anything, as it were, in the mailbox. No, he goes every day. That's how excited he is. He wants to receive what God has promised him. The same way that the thief on the cross, when he's wasted his life, and there he is hanging on the cross, and it's not much longer before his life is going to ebb away. And here he's listening to the Lord Jesus Christ and the exchanges that are taking place. I mean, not that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying anything, but the crowds are saying all manner of things to him. And he's hearing all of this. And he's heard things about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's hearing all of this. But he makes the move. He doesn't just stand, hang there, does he? He makes the move. He seeks. He says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. So close. But there was a move that he had to make. He had to seek. same as the Apostle Paul, who said, did he not for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? What would cause him to say such a statement? Well, because God had appeared to him on the Damascus Road. He knew a lot of stuff about Christianity. In fact, he knew more than most because he hated it with such a passion. And he hated the Christians and he went after them to put them in prison and to death. But the Lord appeared to him, showed him himself. But the Apostle Paul responded immediately, didn't he? He said, who are you, Lord? And of course, in being led to Damascus, and then of course, being healed of his blindness, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he sought him. In this season, and certainly if you're part of this church, you've heard that. You've heard that message. We constantly speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. In a sense, we embrace the words of Corinthians. Where we preach Christ and Christ crucified, because that's the greatest message that we have. And we can't help ourselves repeating that over and over again, because it's so exciting to us and it's so necessary for people. So you heard it. And the promises that it gives to each and every one of us. But you have to respond. You have to seek it. You have to ask God to open your heart. You have to ask God to draw you to Him, to Himself. I mean, how insulting if we just sit back and think, yeah, interesting. I mean, here God gives us His Son, and we don't have any umption to get up and even receive it. It's like giving a wonderful present to our children, and they just sit in the chair. Yeah, nice. I mean, they can't even get up and receive it. I know most of our attitude would be give it to somebody else. God tried that, didn't He? With the Israelites. I'm going to the Gentiles. Going to arouse jealousy in them. But it doesn't always last forever and ever. Now Simeon went to the temple day after day. And why? What was it about this promise that was so that he was so engrossed in and so preoccupied with? Well, because it was a promise of, it was a consolation, it was a comfort, it was redemption that was promised. Why was Adam and Eve so excited? Because it was redemption that was promised to them. Why was Abraham so excited? Because it was redemption. It was through that seed that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That they would have fellowship with God. They also would enter into this covenant that Abraham and Sarah and all of their descendants entered into. Peace with God. That's what it was. And the same with David, of course. He looked forward to that. Because he loved the fact that God entered into, made all of these promises to him. That his kingdom would never fail. It's not that David wanted to be the king and he thought, oh, now I've got a wonderful kingdom that I'm going to have forever and ever. No, it wasn't that at all. He simply wanted to be in the kingdom. That's all. He knew that he wasn't going to be the eternal king. It would be one of his seed that would be the eternal king. As he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down while I make all the nations of the world bow to you. No. He wasn't looking to himself, his self-interest. He was looking to the Savior, the one that would bring redemption. It's that so occupied Simeon's heart that he sought it. People of God, the promises that we speak about and preach about over and over again, they're not some insignificant, they're not some trinkets that we're talking about. It's not that, oh, we're going to fix your family. Oh, no, we're going to fix your children. Oh, no, we're going to fix your financial statement, a situation, or your health. It's not those things. I mean, not that the Lord doesn't care about those things. He does. But it's not those things that we put first and foremost. What we're talking about is your eternal well-being. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about life forevermore in the presence of God or far away from Him in suffering. As Moses said, I lay before you today, not option A and option B, and they're both pretty close. No, no, no. He said, I lay before you today life and death. Choose life. So these are things that you can't afford to ignore. It's the very foundation of our life. And that is what our comfort, our catechism speaks about when it speaks about in the catechism, what is your only comfort in life and in death? It doesn't speak about, well, as long as you have a lot of wealth, as long as you have your health, as long as you have a nice family. It doesn't say that, does it at all? It says, my comfort in life and in death consists in this, that I don't belong to myself, but body and soul, I belong to my faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the rest of that answer goes on to speak about salvation, how He's washed us in His blood, He's forgiven us all of our sins, He's rescued us from the tyranny of the devil, and now we live under His providential care. It's redemption that is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God has gave to Simeon, of course, a divine revelation that he would not see death until he saw the Christ. The people of God, you and I, haven't been given that promise, have we? You don't have that assurance. I don't have that assurance. In other words, death can come to us. That's why the scriptures speak the way that they do. Today is the day of salvation. Today, when we recognize and understand this glorious message, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because though Simeon was told that he wouldn't die until he saw the Christ, you haven't been told that. It's certainly possible for you to die without coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be killed at any moment. We don't know. Of course, we're in the Lord's hands, but you don't know. You may not make it home this afternoon. No, we can't afford to wait. Today is the day of salvation. Now we need to respond. And though this wonderful message of that is sought, the reason that we need to embrace it so quickly and readily is because it provides for all of our needs. It fully satisfies us. I mean, I don't know what lies in your heart, what desires you haven't fulfilled and the things that you're trying to get to, goals and ambitions that you have. And somewhere down the road you think, oh, if only I have this much money, if only I had this job, if only I had these kinds of problems resolved, then I could rest. Then I can relax. Then I can have peace. You know, I often think that it's such a foolish way to live. Now is the time that we ought to enjoy life. Now is the time. I mean, life is a journey. It's not some point that you get to. It's living with God day by day that's so thrilling and should be thrilling to each and every one of us. Whatever we're doing, whether we're struggling to serve Him in this area or that area, or taking care of our children, or taking care of responsibilities that God has given us. It's the fact that we live in fellowship with God that's a joyful thing. Not some goal that you've set, arbitrary goal that you've set that you're rushing towards. I got news for you. Many people have already made it to that point. And they're not satisfied. They're not satisfied. So why are you rushing in the same direction and putting all your hopes on reaching that goal? It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. No, no, no. It's now. We need to have that comfort now. And that's what Simeon points out here. When he sees this Lord Jesus Christ, look at his response. He said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Here's somebody that, having heard about and now have seen with his own eyes and handled with his own hands, responds and says, "Lord, anytime you're ready, I'm ready as well. I'm so content. I'm just full of peace and comfort. If you want to take me now, that's fine. I'm ready to go. I'm prepared." Again, I mean, that's something that you and I have to ponder in our hearts. I mean, can we say with any kind of honesty that, "Lord, I'm satisfied, my heart is content, I am prepared to leave this life"? Or do we think, "Oh, Lord, just, you know, just some more years till I get married and have a family and grandchildren"? We all have that, right? But here was a man that was ready. Now you may say, "Well, he's old." That's true. He was. But the apostle said the same thing. He says, "If you ask me whether I want to stay in this life or go to be with the Lord," he says, I'd rather go. My preference is to go. But for your sakes, and for me wanting to present the gospel to others and serve the Lord and spread his kingdom, I'm willing to stay." And you may be shocked at that. Wouldn't they have life? Are you kidding? But that's what he said. "For me to live is Christ." Right? Notice he didn't say, "For me to get to a certain point." No, no. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because I have even closer fellowship, as it were, when I'm in heaven with him." As I said again, we have to say, you know, is that alien to me? I mean, are those thoughts and words alien? Are those thoughts and words that I cannot really say? Well, maybe it's because even though we know the truths of the Messiah, and though we've heard about the fact that he died for our sins, we've not yet come to the point of, as it were, in this scene, of taking him up in our arms and looking at him and just being filled with comfort and peace. That's something that you and I need to do. That's something that you need to know in your heart. Otherwise, all of this celebration is just passing. And so how is it that we take him up like Simeon did in his arms? Well, it's by faith. It's by understanding who he is. It's believing in what he came to do and did on the cross. It's understanding that he's the Lord of our life. It's understanding that this is his word and that we are to live in obedience to him day by day. That's what it is. It's to understand that we don't belong to ourselves anymore, and we never did, but that we belong to him. We are his people. For him to order and guide as he desires and not as we wish. is to let go of the reins of our life and let Him take them. It's to take His yoke upon us so that He may lead us and guide us in the way of peace and in the way of life eternal. People of God, as I said, every person. I mean, look at this, as I already referred to him, this thief on the cross. I mean, what a mess he'd made up of his life. And yet he died in peace that perhaps people don't even know about. He says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And instantly, when he died, he entered into heaven. I mean, he died in peace. He died with a heart that was excited with anticipation, because just like Simeon, he had been told that he would be in heaven not many hours from that point. You can have that too. The Lord Jesus Christ makes the same promise to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will have the right to be called the child of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and there will be mansions in heaven that are being prepared for you. So that whether you die or whether Christ comes back, He will take you to be with Him. That where He is, there you will be also. Do you have that promise? Do you rejoice in that promise? Do you embrace that promise? Every day when you get up and you live your life, is that what brings light and life and joy into your heart, no matter what things you're facing that day or that week? And we celebrate Christmas over and over again, but really, I mean, the joy should be there every week, shouldn't it? I mean, we go through the events that we have to go through and give gifts and stuff, but it's hard for anything to match the joy and the peace that we have day by day in our hearts. I mean, it's not that we're not happy. We are happy. But the thing is, we have this happiness every day. But the question is, do you? Do you? It's there. You've come to church this morning, just like Simeon. And I'm lifting up for you to think about and reflect upon. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of life. He is the Son of God Himself. And God has sent Him down for you, that you might have life and have it now and walk obediently before Him. Simeon and Anna, all those that have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have this similar experience and rejoicing. Are you going to join that assembly? Or are you going to go searching for it somewhere else? Rushing like the world does to satisfy its desires and ambitions. I'm telling you, and Ecclesiastes, of course, lays it out at length if you want to read that book yourself. It says very clearly, you can pursue all of these things, whether it be riches or talents or helping other people, you can pursue all of those things, but they will end in misery. They're fleeting. So what does it conclude? Where does it point us? That we ought not to forget our Creator in the days of our youth. Because as soon as we come to Him, as soon as we recognize Him, as I said, suddenly lights go on in our life and in our heart. We have peace that passes all understanding. But he ends with this, doesn't he, to his mother. He says, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. People of God, though this is a wonderful promise and God has done such a wonderful thing for us. As we looked at last Sunday in our celebration of the Lord's Supper, as Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And here we have it here, seemingly saying to them that this child is destined for the rising and the fall of many. So even though this is wonderful promise that God has given us, yet many people are going to reject him. Many people are going to stumble. Many people are going to say no. And say, as I said earlier, are going to say, instead of saying, oh, I'm so thrilled, this is so wonderful, thank you, Lord, they're going to say, crucify him, crucify him. What a terrible tragedy. As we've said, light has come into the world, but the world didn't know him. The world couldn't care. The world wasn't interested. The world wanted to switch off that light so that it could continue in their evil ways. That's a possibility. It's a reality. We have to be very careful that we don't fall into that category. And all manner of pride and all manner of excuses will keep us from embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is not the Word of God. Oh, people have just made it up. Oh, he didn't do that. We can make 101 different excuses. And the world does, to justify their unbelief, to justify the fact that they would like the Lord Jesus Christ to go away and disappear, just as they did in Jesus' lifetime. But they are the ones that are going to fall, because they're choosing death. They're choosing rebellion against God. And the opposite comes to them. For Simeon, there was this peace that passed all understanding. He was so joyful. But when we reject the Lord Jesus Christ, all we have is sin and misery and doom and gloom and judgment to look forward to. And we know it. But somehow we are fooled or convince ourselves that no, this must be wrong. What is being said must be wrong. No. As it were, there's a pot of gold at the end of this trail that I'm following. But there isn't. There isn't. No, he's a rock. And either we embrace him and love him and honor him, or we are broken by him. But he doesn't take any pleasure in that. God doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants all to believe in him and be saved. And so he appeals to you through his servants, through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't reject him. Don't say, crucify him, crucify him. In fact, what ought to be said, what would be just, would be the world to cry out and say about you, crucify him, crucify her. That person needs to be put to death because they're sinful and rebellious and they've broken God's law. They deserve to suffer in hell for eternity. That's what ought to be being said. And that is reality. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes to change that, to have it said about him, crucify him, so that to you it may be said, you are free. You are free. You are at peace with God. You can be his child. You can be a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his kingdom. You are free to live for him. People of God, this day is a very important day, simply because of the fact that we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and God giving him to us. But he gave him to us for a purpose, because your heart is full of sin and misery and darkness, and God wants to transform that. Light has come into the world so that you might have light in your heart and life forevermore. You've come in to the church of God this morning, and you've heard this wonderful message. We pray that, like Simeon and all believers down the ages, that you would open your heart, that you would embrace him, and that you would go forth from this place with rejoicing and peace.
for them. Let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again that as we come into your house, you call us to enter into your rest, to enter into a rest that you have earned through the life and the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the shedding of his blood. You've earned for us forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and peace with you. And our Father in heaven, we pray that not only would you allow us to hear these truths, but also, our Father, that you would overcome the stubbornness and the unbelief, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts, that you would create faith in us by your Holy Spirit, so that we might be able to see and that we might be able to love him with all of our hearts. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed challenge each heart and draw them to yourself, so that our celebrations may not last simply this day, but every day of our lives, and only increase the excitement until that day that we come and see you and be with you in heaven forevermore. Our Father, hear our prayers and receive our thanks, for we pray all of these things in the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.